talk to you very quickly on the subject of pay attention. My dad had a very distinct whistle. I could hear that whistle, and I knew that it was my dad's. He also had a voice that I recognized above all other voices. He could be clear across a neighborhood, and if I heard him call my name, I knew it was my dad calling me, and I would answer. And this is exactly what I believe that Christ wants every one of us to know, is that he is our Father, to know his voice, and to know his ways. I want to get right into two stories. The first one's going to come out of 1 Samuel, talking about Samuel in chapter 2. And it says this in verse 21, and then skipping to 26, it says that Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. It then goes on to say that meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew taller and grew in favor with the Lord and with the people. And then skipping to 1 Samuel chapter 3, it says, starting in verse 2, it says this, that one night Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Wouldn't that have been an amazing place to sleep? That would have been incredible. And suddenly the Lord called out Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied. What is it? And he got up and ran to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. So he did. And then the Lord called out again, Samuel. And again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, my son, Eli said. Go back to bed. And Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time. And once more, Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again, and if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. Everybody who is looking for truth loves the idea of Jesus. They love the start of it. They love the purpose that comes with that relation. But it's the relationship with Christ that takes us from accepting Jesus to, from investigating who Jesus is to accepting him, to applying his truths to our lives. We know that Samuel has been given to God. He is serving in the house of God, and he is exactly where he is supposed to be. But yet true relationship hadn't been established at that time. Relationship activates our ability to communicate, to understand, and to do life with others. Samuel could hear God, but he had no idea who was talking to him because relationship was still needed. Here's the second story coming out of 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah has just heard the news that Jezebel has said, basically, you are dead today. Today, you are dead. And he ran for his life. And we know in the story what happened there, and the Lord began to take care of him. But then in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 11, it says this. He says, go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in cloak, went out, and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Here's the thing about a whisper. You have to be near the person who is whispering to be able to hear what they're saying to you. And Elijah immediately chose to draw near. Everybody say, draw near. He chose to draw near. When Lori whispers to me, sometimes she'll get in my ear, and like at the movie theater and in other places sometimes, and she'll just whisper in my ear, I love you. And you guys, it's meant for me. And when she says that, I draw close to her because I love to hear her speaking life and love into my life. My mom, although, back in the day, when she whispered in my ear, it was usually, if you don't knock it off, you're going to get it when you get home. You know, and so I listened because I knew she wasn't messing around. Even though it was a small whisper, there was a lot of power behind those words. But in both of these stories we've read, you have two people who God is intending to speak into their lives. One is brand new in relationship, and the other has been doing life with God. One is hearing the voice of God for the first time, and the other is desperately needing to hear from him again. Either way, God has gained the attention of both of them. And I don't know if I'm just speaking to people that are in this room, but especially to those, I don't know even online, those that might be sitting there and saying, I've been serving God a large part of my life, but I really need to hear his voice right now. And I just want to say that from my heart and from my spirit, I just feel that tonight is the night that the Holy Spirit is going to come to wherever you are, and you're going to hear the voice of the Lord. If you're watching online and you're new to faith and you're trying to figure out this thing, who this Jesus is, I'm believing that tonight that Jesus is going to give you fresh revelation. What will we do when God actually speaks to us? What are we going to do when he begins to talk to us about our marriages? When he begins to want to have conversation about the way that we're raising our kids? Or when he wants to talk about our future? You know, this Saturday I get to spend a time eating breakfast with the men of Harvest here in this room, actually. And we're going to talk about the future, but it's going to be speaking, it's going to be about talking about what has God got for the men of Harvest, and what does that future look like? What does that future look like with the leading of the Holy Spirit and God moving in and through us? What if he wants to talk to us about the sin that is in our lives? How are we going to respond to that? What if God actually has something to say specifically to you regarding your life, your walk, and most importantly, your potential? When he wants to talk about what are we allowing in our hearts and minds? What do we allow in our homes? Specific needs where he wants to talk about the changes and maybe the adjustments in our walk spiritually. Maybe he's saying to somebody in this room and online tonight, says, this needs to stop. Or maybe he's saying, this is what needs to begin. Our response to these conversations with God, even in the way we will react, all hinges on our relationships with God. Let me say that again. When God speaks to us, when God takes the time to want to invest into our lives, the way that we're going to respond, the way that we're going to act, everything is going to hinge on our relationship with him. I want to get into just some thoughts of application here tonight. And the first one is this, is that we have to fight selective hearing. Choose to listen, and choose to listen well. Hearing what we want to hear is usually the thing that gets us in trouble in the first place. Can I get an amen on that? When we try to take this on our own, it's usually what gets us in trouble. When I was around 6 years old, I remember this happening, six or seven. We lived on Browning Road in Little Rock, Arkansas, and our house had a really big backyard. And even behind the backyard, there was a large field that me and my friends could always go back there and play army and hide and seek and all these other kinds of things that we would do back there. And there was just one evening, the sun was going down, and we were way out in the field, and I thought I heard my dad call me. Remember, I told you that I can hear his voice. I know his voice. And I thought I heard him, but I just went ahead and said, well, we can finish what we're doing. And I just kept playing. And then all of a sudden, I heard his voice get up to another level. And then I knew it was my dad calling me. And I still decided to, because I was out of his sight, that we might as well just finish this. Let's finish this game of whatever we were doing that was so important. And then I heard his voice go to the level that I'm not supposed to hear. And I came running, and I came flying out of that field, and I got to where I just touched my backyard, and I was flying toward him. He was standing there waiting on me, and he goes, stop. And I just stopped. He goes, back up. And I backed up about, you know, I just kind of did like this, like, okay. And he goes, Matt. And I just stood there, and he goes, did you hear that? And I go, yes, sir. He goes, back up some more. And I backed up into the field, and he goes, Matt. He goes, did you hear that? I said, yes, sir. And he goes, come on. And I went in there, and I got a whooping. I had selective hearing. Listen to what I'm saying. I was choosing to not respond to the voice of my father. I was choosing how I was going to respond. I had this personal relationship with my dad. I love my dad. He's my hero. But I was choosing to ignore his voice. We all fight selective hearing at some point when it comes to God speaking into our lives. Let me break this down. Somebody who has no relationship with God, they're learning. They are new to the understanding that God cares. And they're asking God the ability to hear. Then you have somebody who is new to relationship. Hearing from God is new. Learning whose voice they are hearing. Is it me? Is it others? Is it the pizza that I had the night before? You know, you don't know what's going on. Or is this, could it be God speaking to me? And then you have those who have proven relationship with God. God's voice is a part of who we are. We have to hold ourselves accountable for the times that we choose to ignore God's voice in our lives. John 10, starting with verse 1, says this: "Let me set this before you as plainly as I can. If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good, a sheep rustler. The shepherd walks right up to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he gets them all out, he leads them and they follow because," listen to this, is coming out of the message, "because they are familiar with his voice. They won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they're not used to the sound of it." Isn't that a good translation? I love that. Because I am familiar. Because you are familiar with his voice. This is where we need to be real with ourselves and recognize that there are times when we choose what we want to hear and then we ignore the rest. I will tell you, I've been guilty of that. I have. God will talk to you, and when he does, what will you do? And here's the thing is that fight the urge of selective hearing, you guys. Fight it. It keeps us honest before the Lord. Give me an amen. Here's a second thought right here, is that we have to pay attention to visions and dreams. Write it down. Talk about it. Be aware of what God is doing. There's been times that I have had dreams, you guys, where I literally would lay there looking at my wife, wanting to tell her so badly, but it was 3 a.m, so I would just sit there and repeat parts of the dream, parts of the things that God has said to me, so that I made sure that I would remember it when she would wake up in the morning and we could talk about it. It's probably been about 6 years ago, but I was pastoring 3-in-1 Church. It was a church that I had planted out in Suffolk, and I want to share a dream that happened during that time. And what had happened was I was dreaming, and I was sitting in my room, down in our living room, in our house where we live now in Chesapeake. And all of a sudden, I saw movement behind my chair. And I mean, it was real. Everything was just so real, I couldn't believe it. And I looked down, and I thought I saw the tail of a snake. And I looked, and I said, "Dude, don't tell me that was a snake in my house." You know, that's how I felt in my dream. And then all of a sudden, I realized, here comes this massive body of a python, of a snake, that was inside my house and was coming toward me. And I just remembered that my body tensed up and my heart rate went up real fast, and I knew that it was the enemy that had gotten into my house. And then all of a sudden, the front door of my house flies open, and these three ladies from my church come in. They go, "We've got it." And they come in there and grab that snake, and they walked right out of my house. And I just remember going, I remember waking up from that dream, and I just remember the Lord saying that you have people in the church that are fighting for you. They are praying for you. And this is the thing is that God let me see this. God let me see that he has surrounded me with people who are going to do that on my behalf. I believe without a doubt, based on the interactions that I've already had with the body of Harvest, that this church is filled with people that are ready to fight and pray for each other. Give me an amen. Joel 2:28 says this: "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and the young men will see visions." Job 33:14-16 says, "For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams and visions of the night. When deep sleep falls on people and as they lie in their beds, he whispers in their ears." I think about the dreams, I think about the visions that kind of went back and forth between Cornelius and Paul, where God is orchestrating a union between these two, a meeting between these two that was going to shake the foundations of Christianity forever. And it would be stories that today, even in 2020, we're still talking about. In Acts 10:3, we know about this vision. We know in Acts 16 that Paul receives his vision. And type the words, the dreams or vision into a Bible program. And I'm telling you, when you type it in, hundreds of references will show up from Genesis to Revelation. That's the importance of it. We have to pay attention to what God is saying to us through our dreams and visions. You know, I'm glad my wife caught me on the Peter Paul thing, because one time my grandfather told me he preached a whole message that the whale was in the belly of Jonah. We have to pay attention. Can you guys give me an amen on that? Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Here's a truth for you. I want to give this to you. God has spoken to me through dreams even when I had no vision. Catch what I'm saying there. He's come to me in dreams when I was visionless. Regardless if you're living visionless or dreamless, I want to say this to you. God still wants to talk to you. Open up your heart. Allow him to minister to you. Allow him to love you. Sharing dreams is biblical. Is everybody with me on that? Some people like to hold on to their dreams. I don't know why or what that's about, but it's biblical. Pharaoh sought Joseph's counsel, and it saved a generation of people. Keep your counsel godly. Make sure there is trust. Make sure there's godly fruit and that wisdom, there's wisdom in the people that you share it with. I've had people where God has spoken to them in a dream or had given them a vision, and they went to somebody that was in their sphere that had a critical spirit or just didn't know how to receive it. And the next thing you know, it's crushing it. It's tearing it down. The enemy, I mean, God had said it to you. God had spoken it to them. And the next thing you know, the enemy is tearing it down. Here's a third thought right here for you. We have to keep yourself in his presence. You know, today I came in here before the message and I sat right here on this front row. And I literally just sat there. I didn't even open my mouth. And I just sat in his presence. There's something about being in the presence of the Lord. There's something about knowing that you're sitting or standing or talking to the one true God, our God Almighty, Yahweh. We're having audience with Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, and to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need this in our worship. We need this in our prayer lives. We need this when we get into his word. And God is primarily going to speak to us through his word. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, if I had dreams like the snake dream every night, I think I would say, God, please, that's enough. I can't take it. You know what I mean? Let me just read it out of your word. So here it is, you know, we're going to primarily get this, but God will never lead us in a direction that could or would contradict his word to us. Let me say that again. God will never lead us in a direction that could or would contradict his word to and in us. What about our posture of worship? God has specifically challenged me in this over the years. It's been working at being more diligent with my reading and my prayer time. Because remember something, worship isn't just necessarily music. I want you to really think about this. I want you to think about, like, people notice it when you are walking around with a spirit of worship. I promise you they do. It breaks through darkness. But God knows what he wants from you and from me, and when it comes to better quality time. Listen, Lori and I, one of the things that I think that has made our marriage so healthy is that every Friday night, before we got married, we decided to do this. Every Friday night was our date night. And we've done it that way. And here's the thing is that there are some times that something comes on Friday night, and if it does, then we'll do Saturday night of that week. But we make that a purpose. And what happens is that if we get to a place where maybe, man, Friday or Saturday, we will both, some one of us or the other will come and say, hey, you know, we didn't get Friday or Saturday, so we got to make sure that we go out Sunday. Is everybody with me? And God wants the same thing. God wants that. What kind of reminders, what is it that the Holy Spirit can send to us to where we can make sure that we're having quality time with our God, with our Father, with the Holy Spirit? For Matt Stewart, it was my worship time. If you are doing everything you can to be in God's presence, the way that He desires you to be, your relationship with Him will only grow stronger. It's only going to grow stronger. Here's the truth. The enemy hates any relationship that we have with our God. Hates it. Here's another truth, that sometimes we are our own worst enemies when it comes to our relationship with Christ. I'm going to show you guys a really bad equation. And it goes something like this. This is with you in Christ. Sometimes it can be bad. It says, I have a need. I want you to fix my need. My faith is based on the response time of you meeting my need, and this will equal relationship with you. Keeping ourselves in His presence allows the relationship to grow. And as the relationship grows, it keeps you and me from quickly blaming and questioning God. Usually the words that comes out of our mouths is like, I don't think He's listening. I don't know if He cares, or I'm not sure He's here right now. And when things don't happen the way that we think that they should in the timely manner that we want them to happen in, then the blaming starts. But I say this, that the thing that usually that the enemy will use is we start blaming, and we're not blaming ourselves. And then we start blaming ourselves, and then the next thing you know, we just give up. We stop. So I say this, keep yourself in the presence of God. Keep yourself at the feet of Jesus. Let the dust of His feet get all over you. Just stay at His feet, because He will go with you. He will give you rest. We know in scriptures that where two or more, He will be there. He will give you a path for life. He will give you fullness of joy. He will give you pleasures forevermore. And the dwelling of place of God is with man. He wants to be with us. There's no reason to fear evil, because He's there to comfort us. So put yourself in front of Him and give Him your attention. Here's one more thought, and this is it right here. It says to give God the time to confirm it in your life. Give God the time to confirm it in your life. And I truly believe this, that it is, if it is the will of God, then it will be confirmed. And what do I mean by that? Here, confirm what? Well, He'll confirm your desire for more of Him. He's going to confirm the calling in your life. He's going to confirm whether you should have a change in career, or that, you know, vision or dreams that you're having, He's going to confirm them. I'm going to tell you this, that Lori and I have been attending the church since February of this year. And there was something about coming back into the house when the doors opened up again and we were able to come in and start worshiping together. It was just like, it was almost like a weekly thing that people in this church were walking up and giving words over Lori and I. I just remember walking and saying, man, this is an awesome church, man, because I like these words that are coming my way. You know what I mean? This is incredible. And the thing is that God uses people. He uses us to encourage one another, to bring confirmation into what God is doing and wanting to do in our lives. Relationships. I'm going to say this. Let me just say this, and I mean this with all the love in my heart. When it comes to relationships, never settle. And I'm not talking about dating. I'm not talking about getting married. I'm talking about if you have people in your sphere right now that are critical, that they're negative, that they talk against the power of God in any way, they need to be out of your sphere. They should not have any influence over you. Never settle when it comes to relationships, because God has people lined up ready to come in and confirm His love in your life. And then there's peace or uneasiness. God is going to be there to help us with that. In Colossians 3:15, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And I believe, and we know this, that God is the author of peace. He is not a confusion. He's not a God of confusion. I feel like the Lord man, I don't do this very often. I feel like the Lord has a word for somebody in this room tonight for sure, and hopefully there'll be somebody online tonight that's going to receive this. There is a door that you have left open, and God is asking you, and he's asked you, and he's asking you again to close that door. And what God has spoken to you, what God has showed you, that when you close that door, God is going to move you into a place of blessing. He's going to restore relationships. He's going to restore a relationship with you. And I'm praying that God will do that in your life. I believe that God still speaks to his people. He's still very interested in us and all and everything that goes on with our lives. That even in the times of trials and circumstances, God is still there and he's still speaking to us every day. Every day, communication, the lines are open with him. C.S. Lewis says this, that God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. I want to hear God's voice. I want Harvest VA to hear God's voice, but I also want us all to be able to recognize that it's God's voice who is speaking to us. Amen? That everything, that what he says, it's coming from him. God, you have my attention. Just as my father yelled at me and he was checking to make sure that I could hear, he wanted to know, do I have your attention? God, you have my attention. Father God, our church, we open up our eyes, we open up our ears, we open up our hearts. You have our attention. In closing, I want to give you just three things that kind of blends with everything that we've talked about, and it deals, the first one in closing is relationship. Everything hinges on this one thing. Hearing, seeing, moving, living depends on the relationship that we have with our Father. Here's what we know about Samuel. Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. He grew in favor with the Lord and the people. Secondly, it's the way that we respond. We just said it. I said it with my own mouth that, God, you have my attention. I'm just going to ask everybody in this room and everybody online with your mouth, say, God, you have my attention. Amen. Reading, through my prayer, through my worship, through my waiting, through talking about it with others. Listen, running from Jezebel, being in a windstorm, being in an earthquake, seeing a firestorm, but when Elijah heard God's whisper, he went and stood at the mouth of the cave and he waited to respond. I encourage you just to look for the voice of the Lord and go and meet him and wait to respond. And then lastly, remain. Remain. Position yourself daily in his presence, just like Samuel and Elijah. They were exactly where they were supposed to be. Amen. Come on, church, give me an amen. Online, amen with you. I want to do something a little bit different tonight. I want to close and I want to pray. I want us just to act like we're all here. We're all here in the church. We're all here praying together. And I'm going to ask those that are with us here tonight just to stand. I want us to stand where we are. Put your Bibles and your notes to the side and we're going to pray. And I'm going to lead. And if there's anybody here, I would like two or three people, men or women, I would love for you to pray out. I want God to use you tonight. And I'm just going to start this off. Heavenly Father, and I want everybody that's online, I want you to pray and receive this. Heavenly Father, we stand in your presence. Just as Samuel, where he ran in and he said, Lord, I hear you and I want you to speak to me. Just as Elijah, when he heard your whisper and he wrapped up his face and he walked out and to go out and have audience with you and he waited to respond. But Lord, we stand and we say, God, we want you to have our hearts. We want you to have our lives. We want you to have our minds. But most importantly, Lord, we want to dive deeper into you in relationship. And so, Father God, I just pray that with everything that is within us, dear Lord, that we would give this to you. That as even as we stand now, dear Lord, that your Holy Spirit would begin to speak to our hearts. Father, Lord, that your Holy Spirit even now would begin to plan the next time that he's going to come and visit us in dreams. That even now that as we stand some, that your Lord, you're giving fresh vision. For some of us in this room standing here, dear Lord, and in online, we need a new, fresh revelation of your Son, Jesus Christ. And in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that no matter what you are going through, no matter what you have seen in the last couple of weeks, no matter what you have experienced, and you might feel like God is far off, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, go and invade their presence. Right here, right now, dear God. Father, Lord, some of us, we have things in our lives, in our families' lives, in our spheres, the places that we go where we do life that we just can't control it all. We don't have the power to do it. We're worrying, we're fretting, we're losing sleep over it, we're not eating right, we're questioning, we're doing all these things that's not normal in a relationship with you, God, and we're asking you to come in and be our strength. We're asking you to go before us. And with all of us with our hands lifted high, God, we lift our hands to you and we just say, I surrender my life to you. Say it to him, I surrender my life to you. And God, with our hands lifted up, we worship you. Let this be our worship to you tonight. Let our hands lifted up show you how much we love you, that we recognize your presence in this room tonight. And Lord, don't let the words that we've heard tonight fall far from us, but that we would stay with it, that we would feed on it. God, that we would apply it. Give us relationship. Teach us to remain and teach us to respond. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. I hope that you have an amazing week. Make sure that you get online and check out the announcements that are happening with Harvest. We have a lot going on. This